Hello, and welcome to the Red Root One podcast. I'm your host, Paul, and I'll be talking about my daily life as an online reseller. I've spent the last 20 years selling on eBay, Amazon, and just about every other platform, and I'd like to share with you a lot of the mistakes that I've made, because education in the real world is expensive, but this podcast is cheap. Thanks for listening. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the podcast. This is Red Root One, and my name is Paul. I just want to kind of preface this in the beginning with, like, I've kind of got a little bit of a head cold, so you have to bear with me. I realized when I was recording some of the other segments that, you know, I'm kind of like sniffling and like sniffing into the mic, and sounding a little bit like a junkie, I guess, you know. So, apologize for it, but just slightly under the weather and kind of, you know, getting through this cold. So yeah, it's Tuesday, May 18th. For me, it's about 6 a.m. And I don't know about you guys, but for me, sales have started the summer drop-off. So I know a lot of people that sell, they don't have any down season, right? That's amazing. I am in the categories that I sell in, that's not my experience. And perhaps it's just, you know, that I have horrible products or whatever, I don't know. But certainly in the stuff that I sell in, that's not been my experience. So probably about 3 weeks or so in the summertime, I don't know, maybe more like 6 weeks in the summertime, I see a significant drop off. As we get towards school, things start to pick back up, you know, that'll keep on going. Now, I don't have a huge run up to Christmas. It's really interesting because the bulk of my business comes right after Christmas through Mother's Day. Almost immediately after Christmas, I start seeing like sales numbers really, really pick up a lot. And then through Mother's Day, they'll be pretty good. And then it's been almost every single year that after Mother's Day, things start to really drop off. And I think just, you know, people are out more. They're probably sourcing the type of things that I sell at yard sales, at swap meets, that kind of stuff. So, you know, there's just not as much call for it, at least on things like eBay and things like that. But I've seen it pretty universally drop off. So on Mercari, it's dropped off. On eBay, it's dropped off. Still selling a little bit, but just nowhere near the numbers that I'm used to. So, I keep on preaching how much I love Sellbrite. Take this with a grain of salt, but, one of the things that I really, really like is on the dashboard, when you go into your Sellbrite account, you know, it kind of gives you a detail of your selling activities, and it kind of combines that for all the sales channels. And everything's kind of in one pane of glass there, and I really, really appreciate that. Personal news for me, I think I mentioned in a previous podcast that we're kind of refinancing the house. We got a lot of stuff going on. I finally have a closing date of Friday for my house, and I am super excited to have that done and over with. That's going to really free up a lot of stuff as we, you know, I talked about that. I'm getting another job, which is going to be a lower paying job, but I have a feeling it's going to give me a little bit more flexibility with my business. And so really kind of excited about all of this starting to come together. So one thing I'll talk a little bit about, and I really don't want to go into details on it because, well, let's face it, it's not a pleasant conversation. But when I was younger, I was kind of look. Here's the bottom line: I didn't have a great childhood, and as part of that, I kind of rebelled against the parents. Parents were both kind of alcoholics and violent alcoholics and that kind of stuff. And so I got involved into, the gang life and doing other stuff and doing a lot of crap that I really had no business in. Now, as a parent, that's really been kind of an awesome training tool for my kids, because I am extremely open about my past to my children. And the whole point of it is to say, and I know there's different philosophies on this. I know some people like they really like hide their childhood activities from their children, and they kind of act like they never did anything wrong, that whatever. And that's just not me. What I have been is very open and honest with them, and I kind of say, hey, look, if you want to do these things, that's fine, that's your choice, but just know there's consequences. And for me, those consequences were all in all extremely light. I'll be honest with you, I got very, very, very lucky. Most of the people that I was involved with at that time are frankly either dead or in prison, right? Or died in prison, right? And so it really like I kind of saw the writing on the wall and decided I wanted to get out of it, and that's not an easy thing to do either. That's a whole other story. But just this idea of with my kids, hey, there's real world consequences to what you choose to do, and sometimes the things you do when you're younger affect you when you're older. So this whole segue, the whole point of this is, I do have a criminal record, and nothing current, nothing recent, nothing anything like that. But from when I was very, very young, I was involved in a lot of stuff, and then I have this thing on my record, and it's unfortunately what's considered a violent crime. I mean, it's not like I it is an assault charge, but it's not like how to explain this? It is the lightest assault charge you can have, put it that way. Anyways, so the point is, as I look for work, that is a real concern, and that's something that comes up, and I have to have that conversation. And part of why I wanted to talk about this is reselling, is an opportunity for somebody regardless of their past. And for me, that's been kind of the idea of, hey, this is my future. It doesn't matter, it doesn't matter what your past is, what you've done, what you've been involved with. If you're changed today, owning your own business and working for yourself, is the best way to not have somebody kind of giving you that side eye and have to I don't, unless you've been a part of it, it's really hard to explain. But looking for work when you have a criminal record is really kind of one of the more demeaning things. And you know, once again, totally take responsibility for those things. That's on me, that I chose to do those things. But that doesn't mean I have to enjoy the consequence. And so one of the consequences for me is, you know, I really have looked at this idea of this is what I want to do for myself moving forward. And for my kids who are, you know, they have a much different home life than I did growing up. You know, they really can see that, and that's something that I've kind of really put into their head, this idea of, hey, the only real freedom is working for yourself. And not that there is, I mean, there's kind of this myth that, hey, if you're working for a large corporation, you have this security, you have this whatever. I'm gonna tell you right now, there is no security in any job. There's no security in working for yourself. But you have a lot more control over whether or not you are going to continue being working when you're working for yourself than when you're working for another company. I mean, my father, let me put it to you this way. He worked for IBM, and you know, he came up in that generation where you worked for 50 years, got your gold watch, and you know, you were done, whatever. He was right at the end of that. And so me growing up, and just if you ever want to look back at it, look at the 80s, the 1980s in IBM. That's what my father went through. And for him, who was kind of raised with this idea of how the world was going to operate, how work happened, you know, how you got this job and stuck with it and everything. I can't even imagine how depressing that was, to be honest with you. Like to have this, to have been sold this bill of goods, you know, so to speak. At least for me, I grew up with that experience of watching him go through this and knowing there was never any security in working for somebody else. There was no such thing as, oh, well, if you just worked for a big enough company, you were and were a hard worker and whatnot, you would keep your job. For me, a job has always been a temporary thing because working for yourself was the only thing that mattered for long-term growth and stability, if that makes sense. Anyways, I've kind of gone down a rabbit hole here, but the whole point of it is just this idea that reselling is a way out. And it doesn't have to be reselling, but that is something that takes probably the least amount of resources and skill to get started. Any kind of working for yourself does that. But I would say that reselling is probably the easiest way to do it. So, what are your thoughts? You know, do you think that there's other, I mean, is it, you know, is selling, reselling, e-commerce, is that the best way? Is that the way of the future? Or are there other opportunities out there that you think are more promising today? I'd really be interested in hearing about that. Anyways, let's we're oh, this was a really long segment, so we're a little bit late for a break. Let's go ahead and take a break and come back. So one of the things I wanted to talk about was an idea of where to source. I think that for a lot of people, you know, and this is more of a traditional method, is you go to the bins, you know, buy a bunch of stuff there, you resell it for, you know, usually, I mean, I'm gonna just throw a number out there of, 1,000% more than what you bought it for at the bins, and kind of rinse, recycle, you know, whatever, repeat. And then there's the whole, you know, I mean, yard sales is the whole, is the other side of that, right? It's basically the same model. You're buying super, super cheap and turning around and trying to get those, you know, really great deals. I have difficulty because I don't know if you know this about me, but in general, I don't really like people. Which is weird thing to admit being in, well, let's face it, a sales industry, right? And like, I don't know, I just don't, you know, I wish I had better relationships with people, honestly. I mean, for me, like, whatever it is in people that like really lends to having close friendships and close relationships, I just, that part of me is broken, I guess. I don't know. Of course, I love my wife very much. I love my kids. But they're really the only ones that I'm close to. And it's not that I don't necessarily want to, but I don't know. I've been burned so many times, you know, that it's just like, why go down that road? Why bother, right? So, you know, like when the pandemic happened, for example, and I started working remotely, to me, that was amazing. I don't have to go into an office and put on this face and do all this. And that was kind of one of the reasons why I was like, man, I really got to get moving on this reselling thing, right? You know, and I had been doing it all along, but nowhere near the level. I mean, my reselling business really grew after the pandemic just because I kind of got into this mindset of, yeah, this is really what I want to do, moving forward. So anyways, like I said, I really don't care for people that much. So I don't like doing a lot of face-to-face stuff. And so I tend to do a lot more sourcing online. And that can be anything from, I mean, usually what it is more bulk buys. I mean, I'll actually source on eBay if I can get it the right price. I really can't usually get individual or small batch stuff at the right price for it to make sense, right? And believe me, I have no problem with whatever somebody sells something at, because certainly, as I mentioned in a previous episode, I get enough heckling over my prices that, you know, who am I to judge somebody else's? But anyways, the point is that for me, like, I mean, that's been a decent source. Facebook, and I don't mean like the Facebook marketplace. I mean, there are, you know, going to content specific groups that are kind of geared towards, you know, a certain subject or whatever, whatever it is that you are selling. Like if you're selling road signs, which there are people that, you know, do road signs, it's not something that I'm into just because they're huge, right? So I that's just not something that interested me. But there are people that do those, and there's like Facebook groups for that, right? And it's the same with anything, really. There's different Facebook groups that you can get into. So like that has been a good resource for me as well for low cost bulk deals. I know a lot of people do the, you know, like liquidation.com, like bulk.com, Warehouse Ninjas, that kind of stuff. Or, I mean, I'm sorry, Wholesale Ninjas, not Warehouse Ninjas. And I've never had great luck with that stuff. More often than not, I get lots that end up being a lot of work for me to list and just not any money. I will say of those, the best is Wholesale Ninjas. I have like if you do the health and beauty from Wholesale Ninjas, and I'm not talking about like obviously I'm a guy, I'm not probably super personally interested in the makeup, but if you do the health and beauty and do no makeup, at the very least all of those products your family can use if you decide, hey, this just isn't selling, I'm not going to sell it. But some of the other stuff that I've bought from other like liquidation type sites, it just has been an awful experience. I mean, it was just a big waste of money is what it boils down to. So I've really kind of tried to shy away from that because I have a whole room full of stuff that I'm still trying to sell from those little forays into those. Which is, I mean, it kind of brings up another interesting part, which is, like how deep do you go into some new market, some new thing that you're trying out before you kind of call it and say, yeah, this was a mistake. I mean, anything new that you go into, you have to accept that there is a strong likelihood in the beginning, as you're learning, that it's going to cost you money. And what I mean by that is it's going to cost you money in mistakes that you're going to make, that you just don't know enough about it yet. You're still like, kind of learning that niche, so to speak, right? And if you've listened to me, you know that that's kind of my philosophy on everything. It's like real world education is expensive, right? Because how you learn is by making a mistake. If everything that you ever pick up is a home run, your philosophy might be that just, hey, reselling is super easy. And that's just not reality, right? Usually what happens is because of your inexperience, you will pick up something thinking that it's a home run or misunderstanding its value, I guess is probably the best way of putting it, and ending up not being able to sell it at a price that, returns you a profit, right? I mean, that's the kind of the basics of that. So, like for me, I've got a whole room full of totes of that stuff. And because I have kind of that philosophy that, well, heck, everything sells if you just keep it long enough. Generally, I don't just cut bait and run on it. Now, some of the health and beauty stuff, because there's expiration dates, that kind of stuff, you can't really keep it forever. Certainly, if you do, nobody's going to be willing to buy it. And, you might be getting yourself in trouble with, where something's kind of dangerous, right? But on anything that's a hard good, something like that, I tend to just hold on to it. And just maybe I'll go down on the price a little bit, but I mean, here, let me explain to you. I just sold a, I don't know if you know what a snap charm is, but it's a little piece of basically costume jewelry is what it is. I just sold a snap charm that I have had for, I don't know, I'm gonna say 5 years. Now it's been in a tote. It doesn't cost me anything. It's just there. It's whatever, but I sold it on eBay for like, I don't know, I think it was $15. And basically just somebody finally came along and wanted that specific thing. It was like this, had a specific design on it that was, kind of, if you're looking for that, that's the only thing you can get is that, right? And, for me, it was just kind of amazing to see, oh man, that thing that I've had forever. Now, I would never go out and buy more of those, that was a mistake. I mean, I got it for probably 5 cents, right? So, like, I got it for 5 cents. I've had it for 5 years and sold it for $15. Is that a good deal? I kind of think so. I don't want to do that normally, but I think I did all right. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that? Like, how long do you keep stuff before you cut bait and run? And if you're, going into a new niche, and you're learning it, are there times that you kind of start going in and step back and be like, this was a mistake. I should have never gone into this. Let me know your thoughts. I'd be interested in hearing that. So I wanted to go over a little bit about some tools that I use and maybe get some feedback from you guys on some things that you use as well. One of the things recently I got, which has been really a lifesaver, has been the programmable mice and programmable just devices. And what these are, if you're not familiar, is they'll have buttons on them that you can kind of macro or put different key combinations. I mean, I guess that's a macro on them. And the whole point of it is to, kind of save yourself some time and some effort. So when I am like listing a large number of items, I mean, this thing is a lifesaver, I'll be honest with you. I have two things. I have a Razer Naga X mouse, and then I have the thing that I actually use far more is the Razer Tartarus V2. And it's kind of like a left hand device that just has some programmable keys. And I can kind of have the one hand sitting on the mouse, the other hand sitting on the Tartarus. And I mean, it has really revolutionized my listing, I'll be honest with you. So like for me, a lot of times I will be listing like a bunch of stuff that I have gotten that's all the same. And so, the pricing may be the same, certainly the cost of goods is the same, a lot of the shipping's going to be the same, all that kind of stuff. So I'm going through and it I don't know how to explain it other than over the course of the listing, maybe 100 different items, right? There's a huge amount of time saving in there and having those macroed keys. And if you're doing a lot of like control C, control V, copy and pasting, today, just the difference in like the ergonomics and how it helps your hand. After doing 100 listings like that, I mean, you'll really thank me having a device like this. So I would really encourage you to at least check them out. I mean, I'll be honest with you, they're not super cheap. I think the mouse, the Razer X mouse was like, I don't know, 70, $80 on Amazon. And the Tartarus was, I don't remember, but I'm gonna say it was like somewhere around 130 maybe. So certainly, not a small amount, but like I said, if you start using it and really like, I'll tell you, it's not natural at first. Like if you're right-handed and you're hotkeying all this stuff on your left hand and trying to do both at the same time and whatnot, and it's not something you're used to, that's going to be, it's going to take a little bit of time to kind of like retrain your brain. But once you get into that habit and get that muscle memory, man, I really cannot stress to you enough how much that's going to change your life and your listings. So, like I said, just really encourage you to actually look at those. And if you have to buy one, honestly, I would say that I use the programmable keys less on the mouse and more on the Tartarus. Now, I will say that on the mouse, one of the reasons why I got it is because I have a dual screen set up and my screens are about 24 inches wide. And so like when I'm trying to scroll from one side to the other, it's kind of like I have to like lift up the mouse and put it back down because there's not enough space. So I can change the sensitivity of the mouse on this Razer mouse, and I can't do that. I mean, like I had a cheap mouse, like $20 mouse or something like that, and I had the sensitivity turned all the way up, and it still just did the DPI for the what it's scanning when you're moving it just isn't sensitive enough. So I like I said, just think about it, because I will tell you, if you move to it, it really has been amazing for me, and I would not go back. Put it that way. So, anyways, tell me what you guys are using. Are you guys using any kind of special tools? Are you using special hardware? Do you use programmable keys? I'd really be interested in that. I tend to use a lot of, I mean, I've talked before about using like CSV files and having scripts that actually write some of that stuff out. And for my generic listings, and by that I mean like listings that I can't just import, I actually still use those because I have kind of a standardized format for those listings. So there's a ton of copy and paste for me, but if you're not doing that, why don't you tell me kind of what you guys use? So I'd be interested in hearing it. Thanks. So I'm gonna go ahead and end this episode. I'll be honest with you, I'm not feeling that great, like I said in the beginning, and I'm having trouble doing the recording. So I'm gonna go ahead and cut it off, and we'll try again on the next episode to provide a little bit more value. But hopefully there were some thoughts in here that did help you out and at least got you thinking about things. Again, one of the products we talked about is the Razer Tartarus. I'd really encourage you to look at that, and then the Naga X mouse as well. Both of those have been great tools for me. So, anyways, thank you again so much for listening. I'm not really. Still have an audience of, according to Anchor, something like five people or something like that. I'm not really sure why you guys are listening to me, but I really do appreciate it. I have to be honest with you. So, anyways, feel free to reach out to me, podcast@redroot1.com, if you have any questions, concerns, or just want to kind of comment on why the heck are you getting out here sick and podcasting. So. Thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate So here's the deal. That's the end of the podcast. Please, please, please subscribe to this podcast and leave a review. Even if you don't like it, let me know your thoughts, and I can assure you I read them all. You can always reach out to me directly at podcast@redroot1.com if you have a question or concern. Thank you very much for spending your time listening to my thoughts. Remember, I'm not an expert. And your experiences may vary, but I hope you find my insights valuable. Thanks a lot, and I'll catch you next time. Bye.